So very good morning to everybody, and once again, a very warm welcome to our Business Spotlight interviews. My name's Ron Maycock. I'm the owner of Action Coach Castleford and Business Performance UK, and I'm delighted this morning, not a very sunny morning, I might add, to be joined by Paul Watson, who is founder and managing director of Privilege Executive Cars. Very good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Ron. Good morning.
It's great to have you with us. We're going to be hearing more from Paul in just a few moments. Before we do that, though, really wanted to just explain what the purpose of these interviews actually are. So we're surrounded by some amazing businesses in our region. They're each on their own journeys and they've each got their own stories to tell. And these interviews give us the opportunity to showcase their businesses, also highlight their achievements, and also increase awareness of what they actually do. And it's all done in the name of abundance. The more people who get to hear about Privilege Executive Cars, then the better for everyone. So without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Paul. Paul, do you want to tell me a little bit more about Privilege Executive Cars?
Yeah, of course. So Privilege Executive Cars was founded in 2005 by myself, after a former business in a different industry. So I decided to try something different. And I launched it in 2005 when Royal Ascot actually was at York Races, which I thought would be a good sort of platform to get us going. So I did a lot of legwork and a lot of marketing and knocking on doors, trying to gather some clients for that actual event. And from then on, it just sort of snowballed for that event itself. Got it up and going, a few cars in, a lot of help from friends and family, making sure that I got all the things. Because we're an executive private hire, I wanted to make sure that it was all pristine. It was a very excellent customer service experience with a top quality vehicle and top quality chauffeur, which was myself, which I got my license to do that back in them days. And it sort of went on from there to today, where we're running 26 cars, got 30 odd drivers, 4 staff in the office, running from a nice location in North Leeds, serving corporate and business clients on a nationwide nationwide basis from our base here, and also from other cities with very good quality partners. And it's just sort of been a very bumpy ride. Lots going on, never a dull moment. Lots of hard work, lots of determination. Just really just driving the business forward, and it's just been through so many bumps and things going wrong, which a lot of people I think would have just thrown in the towel and said enough's enough. But I just kept on going, and I knew there was something there. And after getting through COVID, which again was just a big stumbling block, it just literally fell off a cliff, the business. And I just stayed with it, again, just talking to people, trying to keep the business going. And from sort of 2022, it's just really shot forward on a massive basis, really. And again, just lots of hard work, bringing in new people, and just keeping it going. And now, touch wood, we're on a roll and things are doing okay. Mm. Obviously, still lots of pressure, still lots of stress, but I'm hoping that, you know, now we're on a good roll doing what we do best.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, the name says cars. Is it just cars, or do you have executive minibuses as well, or whatever, a bigger number?
Yeah, I made a decision back in 2018 just to use just Mercedes vehicles. That's all we use, high quality, top end Mercedes. So I actually spoke to Mercedes UK and got them on board with what we're doing. And again, but COVID just brought all that to a stop because nobody were manufacturing cars or vehicles. But we do use the executive people carriers, and we use minibuses and coaches, anything. We're a bit of a one-stop shop, really. Mm-hmm. And we're just drafting partners from wherever we need who do the same as what we do on the scale that they do it, and just to provide the service end-to-end. Yeah. So we can move from one person to 100 people all day, every day, if people wanted that service.
Yeah, absolutely. And your drivers, are they employed? Are they subcontracted in and self-employed? How does the business model actually work?
Well, so on, in the early days, all the drivers were self-employed with their own vehicles or driving my vehicles. But these days, all the new team that are coming on board are all going on the payroll. So they get all the benefits of holidays and the pension and things like that going on. And we have a lot of self-employed drivers with their own cars or with their own vehicles who we draft in. But all my own, we have still a certain small element of self-employed driving my vehicles, but the majority are now are all on the books, on the payroll, driving our vehicles.
I'm
Because
guessing that
the
gives you a higher degree of control over the quality and the standards of the vehicles and the service provided. So I can see that as a benefit. So absolutely.
absolutely.
And who you said that this started when Royal Ascot came up to York in 2005.
Yes.
An opportunity, great opportunism where you saw a requirement for lots of people, traveling back and forth from accommodations or whatever it may be over
Yes.
a 3 day festival, is it? Or 4 days? I
Yes,
can't remember.
yeah. Three or
Three
four
days, I
days
think, Royal
festival,
Ascot or
yes.
something
Yeah.
like that. So, how's that evolved now? So, who are your main clientele? I know you said about executives and businesses and things like
Yeah.
that. So, what kind of things are you getting involved with?
Well, we're getting involved a lot of people, a lot of business people we do a lot of work for Sky, for Johnson and Johnson, for the Dakota Hotel, for lots and lots of big companies. We do a lot of work for the FA. And what we do is we move people from A to B who have used other modes of transport and it's not really worked for them. And what we do, we provide is a very high quality customer service where we pick that client up from, say, from Leeds and they're going down to London or they're going to Heathrow Airport or they're going to an airport. And we'll also transport. Provide a service for Mr. and Mrs. Smith who are going on holiday, and it's a nice start and finish to the holiday where we pick them up from home, carry the suitcases, get them in the car, take them to the airport, and then when they come back off the holiday, then we're stood in the airport waiting for them a board, and we're very integrated now with technology, so we use all the SMS service, so the clients are getting all messages constantly saying your driver's here, here's his car, here's his number. And it's a very seamless service. We've got a very good bookings team in the office who start that system off, and then it doesn't finish really until then people are back at home after the holiday. And same with the business people, we can take them down to London, sit with them in London, waiting for them while they have the meetings. They can have meetings in the car because they've got Wi-Fi in and they've got tables in the car, so they can have conference seating. There's all sorts of things, and it makes their life easier because we just look after them. They just get picked up from the office into the car, wherever they need to go, and that's a big part of our business these days because people are just fed up with other modes of transport without naming a few. Because the service that we provide is so high quality, and the chauffeurs are all trained, they're all in suited and booted, they're all licensed, the actual induction and the processes we have to go through just to get that driver into that vehicle in the right context that we want him to deliver this standard is just a job in itself. And they go through lots of internal training before they get out there in the cars.
So you said when the business started, it was you and the
Yes.
vehicle.
Yes.
So from where you come from, I'm interested, what's your day-to-day look like as a managing director? What are you involved with? What are you now not involved with?
Yes. Well, it's evolved quite a big as a business quite a lot really, and I've gone from being a driver on my own in the car, and then I've been a driver out on the road as the business was growing. I got two cars, three cars, four cars. I was still on the road with a phone doing the service, and then we had to get myself in the office, so we're running it operationally, so you're booking things in, and now we've got a bookings team because we do lot hundreds and hundreds of bookings a week. It's just too much for one person, but I took it to the level before I had to sort of say enough's enough. So I don't really drive very much, although I was in London with a special client yesterday because they requested me, so I did that. But my normal day to day now is just literally looking after the business because there's 30 odd employees, 25 cars, and they all there's all the things that need to keep that business going. You know, like the finance, the licensing, all the compliance that we have to deal with these days through several things. So my day is just full of overseeing what's going on operationally, looking after the clients and looking after the business development, which this year's hopefully is going to be a bit more. We've just got involved with the firecracker ball at Woodin Park, where we've just been elected to be a sponsor and a partner to provide all the cars for that, which is a charity event for Barnardo's, which is I've got involved with. So that's taken a lot of planning. And I sort of, I'm just, business development's a big key for me these days, and just making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, that the drivers are okay, the cars are fine. It's the lead, the sort of, like I said, the compliance requirements for Leeds City Council licensing is very, very stringent, and you've got to just be transparent and make sure that you're keeping them happy and everything's to the top safety standards. It's really, really important for the people that we drive around, really.
So what I'm hearing is, and take this as a compliment, you've grown the business through organically over a period of time, and that's had a massive impact in terms of what you actually do in terms of being the business and now running a business.
Yes.
I'm interested. Which bits do you enjoy?
Well, to be honest, it's been a big transition for me because I've gone from a chauffeur driver, and I was actually out taking a client down to London yesterday, which I absolutely love now, which is, you know, being a one-to-one in the car with a client, chatting away about business and things, being that professional driver, making sure, because it's in the centre of London, so you've got to be on your toes and make sure the safety again and the awareness as well. But I used to love the operations, all the booking in, talking to the drivers, but now I've got a son, Gary, who's my operations manager, and I've just made him now into the operations director. So he literally looks after the day-to-day operations of the business. So I sort of got pushed out of that role as well. I'm sort of just running the business, which I found very tough at the beginning because I had to letting go of something which I really enjoyed, being in there day to day, one-to-one. But now I'm as the managing director, there's a lot to look after with the business growth, and that's all the compliance and all the vehicles, and people are constantly on the phone, and I just couldn't do everything anymore. So I have to become the managing director of the business.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, was very difficult, but I'm falling into the role a bit now and starting to enjoy it a bit, and it's given me a bit more time back to myself because I'm not operational, so I'm not on call as much these days. It's given me a lot of thinking time to be able to move forward, and like I say, I'm starting to enjoy it a little bit now.
So the journey's been 19 years or so,
19
or,
years,
or approaching 19, 18 and a bit years or whatever. Yeah. I'm working on the basis that Royal Ascot's in the summer. So you're nearly at that 19 year kind of marker. With the exception to the obvious of COVID, which affected businesses like yours massively, and for all the reasons that both your clientele and also the way that you're operated had to change, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome? And I suppose leading from that is, have there been any mistakes that if you could turn back time, you'd maybe do very differently?
Yes. Challenges. Well, there's been a lot of challenges. Just sort of off the cuff ones. I mean, when the ash clouds were going on in Iceland and things, which were bringing all the planes to a stop, that brought our business practically stopped because we were doing a lot of airport work in them days. And then we had the financial crisis, which hit, and that brought us in. So everybody just sort of tightened their pockets and nobody was spending. So nobody was traveling. And if there was traveling, they were trying to do it on a budget. So that was a very big challenge. We've been through so many different challenges. And when in the early days, when I was sort of building the business, I couldn't meet the requirements for Leeds City Council licensing. because it were too high standards for what we could afford at that day. So we sort of branched out to High Peak licensing, which was a mistake in itself. We got it all licensed down there, and we were there for about a year, 2 years, and then they just kicked out and says, you can't run this business from Leeds through the High Peak licensing. So I had to go back begging to Leeds City Council to say, I need you to help me here because the business is just going to fold if you don't. And then in the same thing, we lost a big contract with a big company. They went bust on us, owing us a lot of money, so that nearly put us out of business. And so then I had to go again, cap in hand, and try and recoup and get keepers going from that. Mm-hmm. So it's had a lot of challenges in the past, you know. And then obviously the COVID one hit, which I can't obviously emphasize enough how much damage that did to us. Mm-hmm. But you know, the end of the day, we've come through all that for all these years, and just kept going. Sleepless nights, pacing the bedroom, wondering how we're going to go, trying to get the right cars in. Like Leeds City Council, they were great because when we went to them, you know, they were very frosty, to say the least, with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they just actually stipulated, these are the requirements to become an executive private hire company in Leeds, and we'll help you as much as we can, but this is what you have to do. And hence we're going then to Mercedes and saying, look, I need this. And they sort of helped out as well and did what we needed to do. We got there in the end. And now we've become the biggest executive private hire company in Leeds. And we have a very good working relationship with Leeds City Council now. And then long may that continue.
Absolutely. So keep on the right side of them. So I suppose over the last 19 years, what have you learnt about yourself?
What I've learned about myself? Well, I've learned that I've got a lot of a lot of grit and determination, and I can't think of the words, but
resilience and bounce back ability, I think.
It's just, you know, it's all these things. I think sometimes myself, about being like a Duracell bunny, where a lot of batteries will just go, but I just keep going and just, you know, the enthusiasm and the drive, and I've worked for so many years to keep it going. And I've had to become a lot stronger as a person in business to be able to cope with what I've done, you know. And there's been a lot of sacrifices along the way with family and friends and life in general, really, because I've missed out on so much, including my daughter growing up. So I've had to really become quite tough, but also still be, you know, the nice guy on the phone who's in the car with the clients, because that's what it requires. Because if you're one-to-one with a client, you've got to be very personable, and you've got to be very friendly and make them feel secure, you know. And it's having the tenacity to just carry on, really. And make it all.
Absolutely. And what people forget is, as you went through, I thought it was very magnanimous when you started saying, you know, we had lots of sleepless nights and this, that, and the other. Well, I'm going to put an assumption out there. That was a bit of a royal we. Yes, you're responsible for people's jobs. You employ people, and therefore there is a felt responsibility for others. But let's not beat around the bush. As a business owner, that is a royal we. It was you having the sleepless nights, having to go cap in hand, having to source funding, having to look really down the barrel of, is this business viable?
Yeah.
And you've come through the other side of that as a very, very different person, very much stronger. Yeah, maybe a few, you know, regrets along the way, you know, with family and as you said, watching your daughter grow up, this has coincided, you know, with your journey and some of the trials and tribulations that you've had to face. But, you know, firstly, on behalf of everyone, well done.
Oh, thank you.
It's a phenomenal effort. And if there were more people that just stuck to it and actually had that resilience within business, then the economy would be in a better place.
Absolutely, well yes.
So,
yes,
fantastic.
You.
So,
thank you.
If there was a bit of advice that you could give to someone else, not necessarily in your industry, but someone looking to start their own business, taking that leap of faith, what advice would you give them right now?
hopefully not sleepless nights, but, you know, I mean, I think the first thing you've got to do is you've got to have a passion for what you're doing, because that, you know, if it's from the heart and from the head at the same time, then you're going to succeed, but you just got to have the passion, let's say, and the resilience. That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And just to keep on going and, you know, and be, you just got to work hard. Simple, you know, the amount of time, I can't even tell you the amount of hours per week I used to work just in all sorts, doing all sorts of parts of the business. But it's all about hard work, determination, passion, and being another, you know, you've got to be transparent and just be honest with people. And just, you know, if you need something, then just approach. And just have another thing is to have good people around you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very important that you've got a good team. I think, you know, I'm going back to a lot of people say that businesses, good businesses are made with good people. Mm-hmm. And we've got a really good team on board. You know, and the ones that we've have not been part of our journey, who thought they could be, you know, they've come and they've gone. But we're left with what, you know, you really need to make sure you've got good people around you. You really do. There's a lot of people who are now who are part of what we do, all the suppliers and our clients, and who took years and years of building these relationships up, and it's been a hard, hard slog, but we've just kept going. So hopefully we're in the right place now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I was going to add is, certainly in my experience, having the right people within your business is absolutely vital, and it helps the growth of the business, the resilience, everything. I can't stress enough, having that in your personal life, whether they be friends, family, mentors, doesn't really matter. Surround yourself with people that will support you. The moment you support yourself or surround yourself with people who are going to bring you down rather than pick you up, doesn't matter where they come from, they're going to probably be the straw that breaks the camel's back when times get tough. So surround yourself with the right people. And I think that's great advice. Yeah. So I guess the sort of final question is, what's next? What's the future hold for Privilege, and where do you see it going?
Well, we're sort of quite confident where we're going. Again, with a bit of luck and more hard work, we're hoping to expand and into other areas. We've got a few irons and a couple of fires, which I can't really disclose at this moment in time. But, you know, it's about growth, really. And just now we've got all these good people around us, and we're in a place to push it forward. And we're getting our name out there. And we've sort of been the best kept secret in Leeds up to a couple of years ago. And now we want to get some exposure and get out there so people recognise who we are and what we're doing and the service that we're providing. So, but what's next for us is hopefully a brighter future, a good future, really. More growth, because it's not about being the biggest, but it's just about being the best and just doing what we're doing. Hopefully the business will grow on the back of that.
No, absolutely. And it's just reminded me about something else. And just to reiterate the point that you were making, that you've got to be transparent. You've got to really care. And it brought me back to something that the super vet, is it Noel Fitzpatrick, said when I saw him speak. And I'll make it pre-Watershed because it was a lot more directly put, shall we say. But he basically says, the moment that you don't care enough, you've already lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Caring is.
And that's coming across, you know, it's executive hire and cars, but actually it's the whole, excuse the pun, whole journey. It's the whole customer experience that people get is why you've been successful. And that really will stand you into great stead moving into the future. So thank you for sharing that. You know, it's, as you say, it's been an emotional thing. There's been a lot of highs, but equally a lot of lows in that. You've coped and managed through that situation remarkably well. So congratulations on that. So that's actually bringing us towards the end of the interview. Quick sense check. I'll put it back to yourself, Paul. Is there anything you'd like to add or anything we've not covered today, or have we put the worlds to right?
Yes, I think we have done. I think I've said enough. You know, and I just hope people, you know, it goes out to these people and they actually look at it and listen, and hopefully they can take something away from it and make life a little bit easier if they're in business.
And I think, you know, from my side of things, probably what I've enjoyed most is your absolute authenticity. You come across as somebody who is passionate, who really truly cares about what you do, and that's creating a great business around you. So again, really enjoyed that. So that does bring us to the end, almost sadly, because as I say, I have really enjoyed that, Paul. But all that remains to be said, big thank you for Paul for sharing. I say, you know, it's been an emotional roller coaster. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Also, thank you for anyone who's been watching this. If you're like Paul and you want to promote your own business and highlight and showcase what you've been doing, increase awareness and make more people aware that you exist and what you actually do, then simply get in touch. When we post these videos, there'll be clear instructions of how to do so, and would love to welcome you along to do your own interview. So thanks again to Paul. Thanks everyone who's been watching, and it's been another of our Business Spotlight interviews, and we'll see you soon. Keep smiling. Take care.